And we are picking up. This is part two of where we started last week. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to continue on hard versus head versus heart faith. This is very important because how do we know that we are really in faith? And faith is everything to us people. We should have gotten born again by it. We will keep ourselves alive with it. We will know God through faith. Otherwise, it's our senses. We will know God through the Spirit. Amen. And all of this requires faith. So faith is critical to us. This is why God is having me teach it, because sometimes we agree with the word. We say, oh, yeah, I believe the word. I believe Jesus. But it's not in our heart. Faith is of the heart. Say that with me. Faith is of the heart. Amen. This is a scripture that prompted all of this teaching. I was in the word, and it actually really grieved me to see this, because Jesus is literally throwing down the gauntlet, and he is challenging us, and he is asking us, am I going to find faith when I return? Amen. So nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Is he going to find faith in you? Amen. We need to be standing in faith when he returns. Amen. Because that's how he knows we are of him. If you choose fear, you are choosing Satan and his outcome. We got to walk away from fear now. Fear is not a part of us. And trust me, man, every day we all have to deal with fear. We hear a news, our body's acting up, something's gone wrong in our lives, and fear is an automatic response, but we got to transfer that now. Because does fear get us anywhere?
No.
No. What does it do? It makes what, Steve? It takes you off your faith, but it also makes things worse, because now we've opened the door to the devil coming in and really doing his work. So if you choose faith, you are choosing God and his outcome. So when you have that moment, stop and think to yourself, okay, I just heard some alarming news. I have a choice here. I can freak out and be in fear, or I can be in faith. You can make that choice, people. Amen? Matthew 16:18, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. We're talking about what the word does to God's church, to God's people. Why is it so important for God's church to be built on Rhema? There's two forms of that describe the word of God. One is logos. That's when you open up the word, you read it, it makes sense. It begins to change your thoughts about how you should be as a believer. And then you have Rhema. It takes the logos that you fit into yourself and brings it down into your heart, where the Holy Spirit can reveal what you are reading. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals things to us, people. Amen. Have you ever been reading the word and all of a sudden you go, oh my God, that was awesome. That was Rhema. It got opened up to you. Otherwise, it's just words on a page. Have you ever read the Bible and you read and you read and you read and you go, oh my God, I just read a whole chapter. What did I read? I don't remember anything. You were doing logos. Okay, so there's a difference. The Holy Spirit unveils. Why is it so important for God's church to be built on Rhema, the revealed word of God? The Holy Spirit, number one, the Holy Spirit unveils the word, not man. So Rhema churches are those built by God, because God has been revealing to those people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. Tell me when I'm not making sense to you. You need to get this. This is foundational, by the way. This is doctrinal and foundational for your Christian walk, because it's all the word, people. It's in the word. And then second, Satan cannot understand Rhema. Thank you, Jeff. This is hidden from our enemy on purpose, because every revealed reality is a one-on-one with the Holy Spirit. When something has been revealed to you, at that moment, the Holy Spirit was active for you. Satan can't deal with the Holy Spirit. Satan is completely dead spiritually. We are alive because of the Holy Spirit in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Satan doesn't have that. So he does not understand Rhema. He knows the word better than all of us. and he'll throw it at you like he did with Jesus. Amen. But Jesus was built on Rhema. And what happened to him in the wilderness? Be gone from me in Jesus' name. That's what happens when you build your life in Rhema. What? Okay, so Satan cannot understand Rhema. This is hidden from our enemy on purpose because every revealed reality is a one-on-one with the Holy Spirit. He will teach you one-on-one. Now, we as pastors, especially in this church, people, we will bring to you all the tools. We will bring to you the scriptures. We will teach you as best as we can the Word of God. But when you're sitting here and all of a sudden you go, oh my God, I see that. It makes sense. You just had church with the Holy Spirit. It was Him that revealed it to you. Amen. And you can amen me anytime you want. So with, Wow. It's a one-on-one with the Holy Spirit. And this is why the gates of hell cannot overcome it. It can't prevail against. Amen. Hell will not be able to prevail against you if you are building your walk, your house on the rock. Amen. On revelation knowledge. It's time for us people to be real students of the Word. We need to be hungry for the Word of God. We need to say, Father, I read the Word and I feel like there's more here. Please, Father, open up your Word to me and start going at it. Amen. Every religion that you have ever heard of was built on logos. Man-made. God's church is a spiritual entity. It is where the Holy Spirit has brought to man the Word of God and shown us the truth of it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, so following the progress of this message regarding faith. So Pastor told me, he said, it was a good message, Eva, but it looked like you were a little despaired. I mean, like, I had taken off. I had deviated from faith, head faith versus heart faith. Forgive me. I didn't have coffee again, so you're stuck with me. Number one, this is the message. Following the progression of this message regarding faith. Number one, faith is our number one blessing. It came from Jesus. He's the author and finisher of your faith. It's a blessing from the Lord. Tool. It is how you become magnificently great in this lifetime. We are not meant to be the borrowers. We are meant to be the lenders. We are not to be the end. We are to be the, not the head, but the tail. No, the tail, but the head. Glory to God, Jesus. Thank me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I know. Have mercy, guys. I love you so much. So faith is our number one blessing, tool, and goal as a believer. You want to end being a true believer. What are we to believe in? What are you believing in? Everything you see, hear, taste, and all of that? Or are you believing the words of God? We cannot see God. We have never seen God. But we have to believe. Amen. We must believe. And it's a choice. Number two, faith comes by hearing the Word. Going forward, people, we're going to crank up the Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. Faith only comes through the Word. And this is what I've been teaching you. Number three, there are two definitions for the Word, logos and rhema. Number four, the Word is the most powerful entity in existence. And I have been telling that, we've been telling you that from day one. The Word is the most powerful thing any human being can ever handle. It is so incredible. It's God. The Word is God. It's your power of attorney. You go to the Word and you have power of attorney from God to do the Word, to believe the Word, and all the blessings, thousands of blessings that come with that. And then number four, the Word is, and then five, Satan, this is where God told me this. He said, you're talking about the Word now. I need you to explain to them what is happening with my Word in my church in this hour. And this is number five. Satan is trying to stop, rob, and destroy the word in us, so deception can slip in very easily to any of us, even to the elect. The smartest person here this morning, the strongest Christian, you are very capable of being deceived by Satan in this hour. Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. The only thing that's going to spare any of us is standing on the word, on Rhema.
Amen.
Thank you for that one. Amen. This is what, this is powerful. Obedience without understanding is blindness. That's what Helen Keller said. She was a very, very well-known teacher. She was born blind and mute. And I think she was able to hear, but anyway. And through, I think she had an operation. She was able to see. And so she started helping a lot of people that were blind and that, you know, were basically being treated as animals. Watch the movie. It's an amazing movie. But we can be obeying God without understanding. We can be doing what we do without understanding. And that's not what God wants. He wants to treat us as his children and explain to us and say, now, do you agree with this? Do you want to do this? That's how he wants to deal with us. And not that we're obeying. That's what happens in religion. I know, because I was a nun. And the things they made us do. They never explained anything. They never taught anything. We were full of rituals. Every day we had to pray the rosary. We had to do the signs of the cross. We had to read books that they gave us. We had all these activities without any understanding. I was blind until I got desperate and I started thinking, wait a minute, I was closer to Jesus before I came into the convent. What's wrong here? Something is not right. And I started going down to the chapel and I would weep when they had this bell that they would ring. You couldn't walk. You couldn't, maybe you could use the restroom if you had to, but they didn't want anybody out of their beds at night when they would ring the bell. They would ring that bell and I would wait. I would like wait for an hour till I knew everybody was asleep. And I had memorized the steps on the stairway. There were several of them. And I would step down all the way down and when I would get, I would go to the chapel and I would cry and I would say, Lord, I came in here to follow you. Where are you? Where are you? They were literally robbing whatever connection I had from God. And they, and I just saw somebody else talk about this on YouTube. They said, you know, thank God that I'm no longer in this religion because they teach you that it takes you a while to get to the place where God will even hear you. That was me. According to them, I would have to be there for 5 years before God really started to talk to me and reveal to me. And I'm like, but he's been talking to me since I was a kid. He's my best friend. Amen. So we don't want to walk with God, serve God, and do things for God or for ourselves out of blindness without understanding. Amen. Luke 8:9. Then his disciples, which are learners and pupils. Are you learners?
Yes.
Are you pupils?
Yes.
Yes. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? He had just told him about the sower sows the seed, the whole parable. And he said to you, the disciple, the learner, the pupil. If you're a disciple, and if you're a learner, and if you're a pupil, then you qualify for the next. To you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to the rest, it is given in parables, in little stories and fables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And that word understand means to put together, that is mentally to comprehend and to be wise. This is how we must become people. We must become the people that can put things together. Oh my God, that makes sense. That makes sense, Lord. You know, we have issues loving one another. But when you understand why he says that, you begin to understand, man, I'm going to be one person that learns to love the way God loves. It's brilliant. The whole system is brilliant, what God has set up. Amen. But if you don't understand it, and he says, love one another, All you do is get a little upset inside. You go home and you remain the same. Amen. He wants change. And then Matthew 7:6, do not give. Look at Jesus. I really believe this is the word. Do not give what is holy, which is sacred and most holy thing, to the dogs. Nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. God is not going to, let's say you don't really care about the word, which I don't think any person here, I pretty much know most of you. I don't think that if you sit in church or you never read your Bible at home, God's not going to say, you know what, I'll pick on Jeff. Jeff is good to pick on. He knows I don't mean it at all. But let's say Jeff doesn't really care about the word. He never cracks his Bible open. He never talks to God. And when he comes to church, he's thinking about Denny's and going out to breakfast. Do you think God would say, I got to give this treasure to Jeff? I'm just going to give it to him. Jeff's not going to know what to do with that revelation, with that word. But when we love it, God is free to unleash his revelations, the word, the understanding. Amen? Amen. Praise God. If God tells you to do something in the Bible or we teach on something and you are like, I don't know how I can do that, you're lacking understanding. Amen? Because once you understand, the word is brilliant. In our home, we have four people that live by the word. The word is judge, jury, executor. It's the one that directs. It's the one. The word is Lord in our home. Amen. And God just keeps piling it up. The revelation is coming. But why? Because we love the word. Say, I love the word.
I love the word.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus is the word of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word is everything to a believer. People, I beg you, if you're not a reader, free on your phone, you can get the word, Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, and listen to it. When you're driving around, when you're at home, take a moment to get in the word. This is where the dividing line is happening right now in the body of Christ. We must love his word now more than ever. Why? Because Jesus is the word. Now look at this. I love this picture of Jesus. And there is a side of Jesus like this. If Jesus truly is the word made flesh, then if we want Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, shouldn't the word also be our Lord and Savior? Is the word of God your Lord? A Lord is your master. A Lord has the final word. A Lord can speak up when it needs to. Is that the word in your life? And then also your Savior. Where do we get? How can we get delivered from anything? Any sickness, disease, calamity, destruction, accidents, when the devil attacks our homes, when he attacks our finances, how do we get saved from that? Monica? From the word. The promises of God are yes and amen. And the Bible is a book of your inheritance. All that you've inherited. So we go around saying, oh, Jesus is Lord, oh, well, he's my Savior. Yes, I'm born again. Oh, you too, that's wonderful. We're all born again and saved. What does the word, what's the placement of the word in your life? When you read something, do you say, not yet, I can't do this. My husband's a jerk. There's no way this is going to work. No, Lord, I can't. Well, sorry, I'm picking on the husbands. But and you look at it and you say, no. Was the word Lord for you at that moment? If you say, I can't do this word that you're telling me, is that a complicated statement? If you reject, let's say God tells us to do something in the word, and you read it and you reject it, was it Lord at that moment to you? No, you're rejecting it. And because you reject him as Lord, then the saving grace in the word of God is not going to work. Do you understand, people? Is this making it, Pat, is this making sense? Praise you, Jesus. Satan's greatest weapon is man's ignorance of God's word. And he gave me a prophecy. I did bullet points. I'm going to not rush through it, but I'm going to read it. God told me to do it. One thing is to hear one time and it's just bullet points. And then you say, oh, wow, yeah. And then we walk away and forget. God wants to remind you. Summary of the prophecy for Sunday, July 5th, 2026. Number, this was all came in prophecy. If you are of God, you hear his sayings. If you are not of God, you don't hear his sayings. That's it, found in the book of John. Nor really care to. Do we truly love the word daily? Daily. Without his sayings, you won't be capable of doing his sayings. And it's not the hearers of the law that are justified, that are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. If we're not in the word, how are we going to be able to do the word if we don't know what to do? There is a tidal wave. Now, this is critical, people. There is a tidal wave of offense that is coming. It's already here, but it's coming in a massive dose. We're going to get to the place, people, where we're going to start questioning everything. Is there a God? Is there Jesus? Because the deception is going to be so cunning. And they're going to have proof of why this is not real and so on. And our faith, our belief is going to seem antiquated and not modern or intelligent or anything like that. So we've got to know what we know. Amen. Know what you know. Make sure, I don't care if it's three scriptures. Know what you know from the word of God as truth. It'll start anchoring you. There is a tidal wave of offense that is coming, and it is an offense directed against the word. Therefore, against Christ. The devil is very cunningly bringing offense to his body through the word of God. Satan is now using the word against Christians. He's going to start using scriptures that we know and telling us that's not for you. You know, that passed away. There's entire churches that are supposed to be born again people. People that are children of God, and I do in quotes, that, dude, they don't even know the word. They don't know the word. What are we following? What are we believing if it's not the word of God? Number five, people are not discerning where this offense that they are experiencing is truly coming from. So that offense is manifesting in God's people in many misguided ways. Many of God's people are becoming offended at his shepherds and his teach his shepherds and his teachers and at his churches. Oh, he's going to come at those that are really loving God, doing their best to feed the people of God, the word of God. He's going to come after us. And he is. And he has. We've had thousands of people come through our doors. We preach something. It's too much. It's very psychological, people. Oh, I don't like what they're saying. I'm not coming back. They don't know my life. They don't know. And they expect me to be like that. And people are walking away through offense. So, people will blame it. Oh, sorry. Some are even offended at the rapture. They no longer want to hear the truth. You know how many times people we've brought up, well, I have. I can't speak for Pastor. We've brought up the rapture, and I can see it in the spirit. People recoil. I don't want to hear that. I came to feel better. Make me feel better. Comfort me. I don't want to hear about the rapture because that means I have to get ready. And that means if I refuse it, I could get left behind. So I don't want to hear that. These churches that are talking about that, no, I can go to a place where they teach a wonderful little message that lasts 20 minutes. We have a problem in the body of Christ. Number seven. Oh, sorry. Some people are even offended at the rapture and they no longer want to hear the truth. I don't want to hear it. People, swords, are you going to be here till the end? If God called you here and you stay here, are you going to be here as we talk about the rapture, as we help you get ready, as we talk about some of the things that are coming? Are you going to hang tight with that? Or are you going to reject the fact that God warned us it's coming? Do you understand? Do you understand? See, the word is the gospel. It's the good news. Pastor Eva, how can you say the rapture is good news? Because we get taken out of here before all hell breaks loose. If that's not good news to you, amen? You don't have to suffer along with the world, people. Praise God. Number seven, people will blame it on many things, not knowing that underneath it all, it is his word that has offended them. The great deception has begun, and God's word is no longer precious to so many. The word must be precious to us. You know how Pastor and I look at it? We were talking about this at dinner one night with Brian. We fellowship. We have church very regularly while we're having dinner. After dinner, we just sit there for a while. We'd bring out our phones. We talk about scripture. But we were talking that to us, you know how the word of God is to us, to Bill and I? In the old days, there are pictures of the ancient people, antiquated people. Pastor doesn't want me to say cavemen, but the people that lived a long time ago, they discovered by accident fire. It's like a lightning hit a bush and it lit on fire and they felt the warmth of it and they started getting, you know, God began to help them and they started seeing that, oh my God, maybe we can cook some of this huge dinosaur that's out there, you know, and let's have the first barbecue. Woo-hoo. And so the way Pastor and I see it, that fire was a matter of life or death. And they would carry an ember and they would cover that little ember as they traveled from place to place or from village to village, whatever. That's how Bill and I see the word of God. It is extremely important, extremely part of our survival. And it is something that we cover, we protect more than anything. That's the word of God to us. Amen. And you ought to see the word of God in you that way too. Don't let anybody or anything rob you of the word. Even the disciples are being offended in this hour. The scripture is John 6:61. I'm not going to reteach that. But even as a disciple, Jesus said, we'll get offended. Number nine, the time for the scripture is here. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Listen, this is real. Please understand, this is real. Will we endure sound doctrine? If it's the word of God, and we clearly show it to you that it's the word, and it fits, see, it's in the volume of the word. We don't pick little trendy messages, and it's all painting a picture for you of the entire reality with God. But will you be offended? Will you not endure sound doctrine? But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Number 10, we must understand more than ever that Jesus is the word. You love Jesus, you love the word. If we then are not consuming the word, we are not receiving the life of the word that comes to us only through him. If we are not receiving God's life, then what other force is being released in our lives? People, if we're not receiving life, what else is there? Death. Thank you, Lupe. Death. There's only two forces, people. This is why the word, he said, I am the life. Jesus would tell us over and over again, the word is life to us. Let's see. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So this offense can cut us off from him and the truth and the way that is given, that he's given us to follow him, especially in this hour. Offense will hinder us from receiving the life of Christ and his provision. I don't want to get into it, but people, you're going to have the word. The word will provide for you, because the options that are coming are not of God. Amen. Brian's been doing a lot of research on our food supply. People, they're completely destroying the food, the meat. It's really wicked. We got to pray. We got to trust God with this. Amen. Praise God. Offense will hinder us from receiving the life of Christ and his provision. This offense will cause us to stand naked without his help at an hour where this is not wise. You cannot stand naked, and obviously it's not literal. You cannot stand naked without God being with you. Number 11, God has warned us about this in his word regarding offense in the last days, especially all of Matthew 24. Please read Matthew 24. If you don't believe me, read it, please. This deception could destroy and shipwreck the faith of God's people, because without the truth of the Gospels, there is no foundation or security. It's a house built on sand. If you are not building your house on God's word, you're building in the sand. And at the same time, this offense is ushering in many false prophets and teachers that are rising up in great numbers in this hour for the purpose of deceiving very many. Do you understand? Satan is bringing offense against the word. He's cutting people off the word. And people are going to go and tickle their ears somewhere where it's nice and easy and the word's not demanding of me of anything. And at the same time, Satan is releasing his antichrists, the false prophets, throughout the land. It's a perfect system that Satan's got going. Matthew 24:10, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. How's your love for one another? How's your love in your home? How's your love for God? Amen. Watch those things, gauge them. If you are not in love with God more today than you were yesterday, gauge yourself. Is my love growing cold? Am I part of this? But he who endures, perseveres to the end, shall be saved. To save, deliver, or protect, heal, preserve. Remember, with Rhema, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You don't even know, people, what Pastor and I have overcome in our bodies, sickness and disease. And we stand there and we say, the gates of hell will not prevail against me. I will not, I'm talking very bold these days. I will not give you my body, Satan. You cannot take this organ, or you cannot take this, or you cannot take that. I rebuke you. You are a thief. Amen. Jesus is my healer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please realize that unless you are rooted in the word and in God, you can expect to end up just as Jesus warned us that we would. And in Matthew 24, he talks about the elect a few times. That's us, people. Number one, many will be offended. Number two, will betray one another. Number three, will hate one another. Number four, you will be deceived by false prophets. Number five, and because lawlessness will abound, and it's growing, the love of many will grow cold. This is what you can expect. God urges us to love the truth, to love his word. It is our only salvation. Cling to that which is good and remove your foot from evil. These decisions must be made now, today. Number 16, do not fall into the hand of your enemy because you refuse to hear. This was all part of the prophecy. Number 17, the very word that we might be rejecting right now or getting offended at is the very word that will judge us one day. The word's going to judge us, people. And of course, the word is Jesus, but it's the word. Did you do my word? Did you love my word? John 12:48. Whoever rejects me and refuses to accept my teachings has one who judges him. The very word that I spoke will judge and condemn him on the last day. Is that not clear? Is that not clear?
Yeah.
Wow. Matthew 24:22. We're almost done with the prophecy. And unless those days were shortened, here you go. No flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, the selected, the favored, the chosen, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, the selected, the favored, the chosen. That's us, people. That's us. 25, see, I have told you beforehand. Then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. It doesn't say he's going to come for all the little Christians. His elect. Does God know you? How do you know you're the elect? How do you know you've been chosen? Because you're the real thing, and you love God, and you follow God, and you do the word. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The parable of the 10 virgins. He's coming. We got to be one or the other, foolish or wise. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, which we are grafted in. We are part of Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant, a remainder, a few will be saved. Just make sure. Make sure that you love God. Make sure that you read his word. You're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be sinless. You're never going to be where God looks at you and he is like, oh man, this guy is doing everything perfect. Look at what Jeff does. Everything is perfect. He volunteers at church. It's never about us being perfect. He knows who we are. But it's about us knowing God and God knowing us. A word to the shepherds. This, I know you're going to love me. This was precipitated by a TikTok that I saw. I started listening to it and it froze me in my tracks. And God had me hear it. And this minister took off talking about the shepherds, many of them in this hour and what they are doing. A word to the shepherds in God's church and those who oversee his flock. Without a shepherd, look at that little sheep. Did you know that sheep can die if you don't take off the wool? You have to take off the wool or they get suffocated with the weight of it. They actually can't even walk anymore. Look at how forsaken this little lamb is. So without a shepherd, they are lost and neglected, burdened by excess, helpless and vulnerable, wandering aimlessly, and that's what's happening in the body of Christ. We have a gazillion Christians jumping fence every Sunday. It's getting harder and harder to form a church that is collected and connected to God. Doomed for destruction. And then with a shepherd, found and cared for, blessed and fed, protected and secure, led with purpose, and then promised preservation. Promised from the word of God that you're going to make it. You're going to be fine. Amen? Can you all do me a favor? Can you all smile? I know it's hard. I know we're all on the grill. So, what is a biblical shepherd? The word shepherd means to tend a flock. That is, pasture it, to graze, to rule, by extension, to associate with as a friend, a companion, keep company with, a herdsman, that keeps sheep and that pastors. You decide if we're fulfilling any of this. It's your call. John 21:15, he said to him, "Yes, Lord." This is Jesus talking to Peter right before he gets taken and he's about to get crucified. He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." That means to pasture, to graze, and to keep. Now you know why Pastor Eva calls you or texts you if I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. I'm trying to keep you in the flock. I'm not getting on your case. I have a gazillion things that I could do with my time. But I take the time because I'm a true pastor. Every sheep is important to God. And he commanded us to keep you safe in his herd. 16, he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." To tend as a shepherd, supervise, feed, and even rule over. We stay away from the rule over. It's bad enough when we're just trying to be nice little pastors. We're not going to rule over you. We don't tell you who to marry. We don't tell you where to, how many kids you're going to have. We don't tell you a thing about your life. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, I wish I could share so much, people, but I love you. I'm going to spare you a lot of detail. And then he said to him, "Tend my sheep." To tend a shepherd, to tend as a shepherd, supervise, feed, rule. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And it's the same thing as up here in verse 15, to pasture, to graze, and to keep. I gave you these scriptures because I want you to know how precious you are to God. Here Jesus is about to die, people. He could have had a lot of things to say and a lot of other priorities. But he literally said, "Peter, take care of my people. Feed them, protect them, supervise them." Amen? Praise God. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter, a larger judgment, a decision for or against." And then James 3:1. And there's a lot of flashy little things going on right now. I mean, we were involved in a ministry at UCI. And one guy came up to us and he said, "You know, I really believe God's..." He was very flashy person. He said, "I'm going to have a church. I really believe God's going to call me." And I knew he was, you know, younger in the Lord because of the way he would speak and the inconsistencies in his life. But in those days, everybody was going into the ministry. It was the thing to do, the in thing to do. I'm talking about in the 70s. No, early 80s. In the early 80s. Bless you, Mary. And later on, we found out that this guy had a major issue with pedophilia. And he was going into the ministry. He chose himself to go into the ministry. He doesn't understand that there's judgment on anybody that sits in the seat of a pastor. We're aware. We're aware. God is removing counterfeits. Ezekiel 34:1. "And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." Again, it's the same thing happening in today's church. "The shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled over them." We get our taxes done by a very skillful man. He's a brilliant accountant. And he was telling us about a major ministry people. Well, it's not major. You have the huge mega churches, and this guy was in the middle, and then, of course, us. And this guy told us, he said, "Wow, Bill, that's all you take from the ministry a year?" And he said, "Yes, we don't receive a salary." He goes, "Let me tell you." And then he told us, and this guy's not even born again, guys. I'm believing God. I can pray with him like Monica did. And he told us, he said, "I do the taxes for this church, and we know well the church." And he said, "The pastor, just him, never mind his son who works in the ministry." And I know the story really well, unfortunately. And he said, the one guy, takes $360,000 a year from a church that had to file bankruptcy. So he was pushing the people to keep tithing, even though they were going under. And they did go under. It had to change completely. That's what it's talking about. When you look at the sheep as a means to prosper. Ezekiel 34:5. "So they, his flock, were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them." God wants you to be sought out. God wants you to be searched out. "I haven't seen you in church in a few weeks. Are you okay? Is there anything we can do?" It is our job to make sure you're okay. It is our job to keep wrangling you back in the fold. That's what a shepherd does. You know why the hook is there? Two things. It's to beat any wolf that comes around trying to get the sheep. And the other is to be able to corral the sheep if they are obstinate from the neck with the little hook that they have on the staff. God knows there's wolves out there ready to get you. And right now, people, I'm telling you, I know of a church, another thing, and this was years ago that I saw this, but I never forgot. They interviewed this pastor because he was at 30,000 people in his congregation. It's somewhere in the middle of the United States. And, "Oh, pastor, how did you grow this huge church? How did you make it? Look at this. This is so amazing." He goes, "Oh, well, we learned that if we cater to the people, they'll come." He said, "We have an area where people can smoke before church. We have several coffee stands," because it was a big building, "where they can come and get their coffee. We have square dance. We have square dancing. We also have single nights. And we have all these activities for every kind of person that can come to church." And he said, "No wonder you're at 30,000. He goes, "But wait." He goes, "The truth is, every month we lose like 2,000 easily. Easily. And they keep scattering. The sheep keep scattering." Amen. God does not want us to scatter people. "Oh, well, I have the right to, you know, if this is going to be better for me, I have the right to." You better pray. And if God says yes, go. We'll send you with our blessing. But if he doesn't say that, you're going to be scattered. Amen. People, praise God. This is God's thing, not me. Ezekiel 34:7. "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, a plunder, a pillage, a booty." And I looked up the word booty because I'm like, Lord, that sounds a little strange there. We are godly now. And so plunder, pillage, booty. And booty means ill-gotten gains and spoils. "And my flock became food for every beast of the field because there was no shepherd. Nor did my shepherds search for my flock." Every minister, and I agree with this so much, people, one pastor, and we have two here, one pastor can only adequately pastor 200 sheep. So we can grow to 400 easily. But any more than that, and you lose track of the sheep. But in a bigger church, the more people come, the more money comes in. I did research, people. It is grieving, and I'm scared for so many ministers. Millionaires, millionaires. I saw one woman. She is not a shepherd, and she's not there for the sheep. And she was literally saying this. In fact, two women that I saw have done this. They're like, God just gave me a word. Oh, wait. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. This is what's happening right now. The Lord just told me that 1,000 of you must give 1,000 today. If you do not give that, you are in sin. God is warning you. Your businesses will collapse. Your finances will die. I need you to give me $1,000. 1,000 of you. Come on up now. And the poor people, you see them going, is that me? Is that me? Oh, it was so sad, people. And here comes the huge row of people, 1,000 to give 1,000. I told you last week, a minister said, if you give me $1,000, God's going to heal you. But you have to give it today. You have to be obedient. You don't even know, people, how much I have seen of that. Oh, God told me that I'm supposed to get a huge jet. And, you know, people, this one is going to be a little high. It's about 2 million because I need it to travel because I have this ministry. And God told me that many of you are going to offer a huge amount. And some of you are even going to empty out your bank accounts. But that is God. I need my jet. One minister has raised enough money to get 3 jets. And they brag. How is he going to be bouncing in 3 jets in the air? Why does he need 3? Honestly. This is what he's talking about. When people become a source to you, instead of you being there for the people, praying for them, knowing them. Dude, you don't know how many times I'll be sitting there minding my own business or doing something, and God will say, pray for Mona right now. Pray for Mona. Yes, Lord. And as I begin to pray for Mona, I get a sense, not details. God never shows us anything that you're involved in. If you're involved in sin, he even hides it even more. Love covers a multitude of sins. He doesn't report on you to us. We're nobody. But he will let me know when you're struggling. He will let me know when your family is disintegrating. He will let me know when you're scared. We are supposed to be that kind of shepherd where we oversee the beautiful sheep of his flock. Verse 9. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food to consume and devour them. It's coming, people. God will not be mocked. He'll have the last word in our lives. Amen. A pastor's role is to feed the sheep spiritually and not to fleece them financially. There's like 22 people, 25 people that are tithing. When have we ever gone to your house like we know ministers do on Sunday? Even when you can't go to church and you're not able to go to church, they'll show up at your house. Where's your tithe? We need your tithe. You didn't tithe today. And they keep records. People, this is, I've seen it over and over. Jeremiah 50:11. Because you were glad, because you rejoiced, you destroyers, those that plunder and spoil. you destroyers of my heritage. You are God's heritage. You belong to God. How can I abuse you? How can I fail you? You destroyers of my heritage, my inheritance, my possession, because you have grown fat like a heifer threshing grain, and you bellow the bulls like bulls, your mother shall be deeply ashamed. She who bore you shall be ashamed. Imagine that. Son, on that great throne judgment, son, how did you turn out like this? Dude, this is personal to God. Are some of our pastors dumb dogs that cannot bark? Now, this is what I saw that made me stop. My blood ran cold when I heard this. We're almost done. We're almost done. And the guy was teaching on this scripture and how so many, many, many. Dude, let me tell you something. We used to be involved with the ministry, hardcore, supported them, gave them lots of, well, consistent funds for their ministry. And one day, they asked about a certain person in a church, someone who was quite wealthy or prosperous, not really like a rich billionaire or anything, but, and we said, oh, they're doing good. And then he's like, why? And we said, well, you know, we're just believing God and praying for him, you know. And then pastor said, I had to have a word with him because he did something that was really off and he wanted to go in ministry. So Bill had to speak up. And, you know, in those days, they were still sitting under a ministry. And so the guy said, wait a minute, you corrected them? And Bill's like, well, not, I just spoke up. You know, I just gave him some information. And he said, you never talk to your highest tithers like that. This guy is a big tither. You don't want to offend him. And that's what's happening. A lot of people worship. And, you know, the big churches, there's a formula. You need to research it. Somebody got on this bandwagon, built a huge church, and then they put out books on the formula to grow your ministry. And one of the main things is you never say anything that's going to offend the people. Don't rock the boat. They come to be fed, to be happy. They come to hear the good news. And that's all you want to do with the people. You never correct. That's part of the ministry. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some of you look really uncomfortable right now. So are some of our pastors dumb dogs that cannot bark? What does that mean? Isaiah 56, 10 through 11. The watchmen are blind. One minister can't be overseeing and watching 10,000 people. He'd die. Too much. The watchmen are blind. They are all without knowledge. They are ignorant of truth and instruction. That's what the word said. This is in the Hebrew. Ignorant of truth and instruction. They are all mute dogs. Speechless. Oh God, look at this. And this is direct translation, people. They are all mute dogs. That's a speechless male prostitute. That's in his word. Look it up. They cannot bark. Not able to endure, overcome, have power, or prevail. They have no power. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no revelation. There's no rhema. They have no power or prevail. Panting, lying down, they love to slumber and to dream. They love going on their vacations. I see it. Some of the posts are, wow. Wow. Isaiah 56, 11. We're almost done, I promise. Amplified, and the dogs are greedy. That means they have an appetite. They're discontented. I want more. I want more. How can we grow more? Let's become the biggest church in the world. I want more. And lustful. They never have enough. They are shepherds who rule and tend to a flock. who have no understanding, not discerning, intelligent, or perceptive. They have all turned to their own way, their course of life or mode of action. Each one to his unlawful gain, to plunder, to gain, usually unjust, covetousness, dishonest, gain, profit, and without exception. One of these ladies showed us, it was a woman. Why is it all women? Now that I think about it, ladies, we can't go there, amen? We can't be like that. She has a throne that she sits on before she teaches. It's a huge white thing, and she sits like a throne. And she showed us in her house all the jewelry that she has. She has nothing but Gucci. And what are some of the other names? Gucci and Prada. Yeah, who cares? Well, some people are caught, and then, oh, this is Prada. Look at this. Well, this is Goodwill. Look at this. I'm serious, man. I went to a Bible study one day, and I have a ring that I really like, and I'm not even going to give you the answer, but it's rather large and looks very pretty. I love it. And the lady goes, I went to this Bible study. I was doing Bible studies with very rich people. I'm talking about those were real millionaires. And we went up to this huge mansion. It was massive. And it was her home. And she's actually a precious lady and a good friend of mine. But she came up to me one day in one of the Bible studies. And she goes, ooh, is that real? And I go, to me it is. You know how much I paid for it? It looks like it could cost probably about $45,000. I'm not kidding. I've seen people with that. And do you want to know how much it cost me?
Sure.
One? The rest of you are like this. You're so cute. $65. That's what it cost me. And that was expensive for me. That was $1 million. So... they have all turned to their own way, their course of life or mode of action, each one of to his unlawful gain, to plunder, to gain, usually unjust, covetous, dishonest, gain, profit, without exception. Shepherds after God's heart. Just about done. Look, I'll improve it. The good shepherds. Jeremiah 3:14. Return, O backslidden children. That's us. We got to return back to God, people. Now. Now. Say now.
Now.
Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. Aww. For I am married to you. I am a master and husband to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion, a permanent capital. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, not the world's heart. A lot of ministry has turned into business people, and there's many. Oh, I'm being so nice right now. I got my little Sunday dress on, and that makes me act a little certain dignified here. You don't understand what some of these people are speaking up against these churches. It's hardcore. According to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding, to be circumspect, be aware of what's coming, and hence intelligent, consider, expert, instruct, prosper, give skill, have good success, teach, make to understand, wisdom, behave self, and guide knowingly. And we've been judged as being a church that's too smart. Oh, that's the smart church. And look at the commission that we carry as ministers. Last one. 1 Corinthians 2:4. My speech and my preaching. This is Pastor and I, people. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. 1 Corinthians 2:4 in the Amplified. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, using clever rhetoric. Pastor hates pithy sayings. He hates them. He boycotts them. He makes fun of me when if I ever, in the early days, I'm like, oh, everybody's doing that, so let me do it. Thank God I have a good shepherd, man. He's like, stop it. No, no, don't go there. But they're like, the Lord is holy, so let's eat moly. I mean, everything has to rhyme. The Lord is good, and he gives us food. It's like, with using clever rhetoric. But they were delivered in demonstration of the Holy Spirit operating through me and of his power, stirring the minds of the listeners and persuading them. I don't know of any person in here right now, maybe perhaps Crystal, I'm not sure, maybe even Christina, but the rest of you that have not received a healing, a miracle, a word, the power of God through this ministry. There was a time when our children's church was like 50 strong. People are starting to not have children anymore, people, because it's the end of days. I'm serious. It's all playing into one big, huge picture. But almost every one of those children had a very serious thing going on, or were they brought them. Anyway, I can't go into details, but we prayed for them and God gave them a miracle. Amen. They are alive because of God. Amen. I'm serious. Amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. If you ever leave, and it's okay. Hey, the door's wide open. There's no lock. Did you guys lock the door? No. There's no lock. If you ever leave, make sure you go to a place where there's power. Because that church is built on the Holy Spirit. Amen? John 14, 12 through 14, and this is it. Let me see. Yep. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these in extent and outreach, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name as my representative. We represent Christ. We have seen hundreds and hundreds of miracles in this ministry. People, honestly, we should write a book, Bill, one day, of all the testimonies. No, he's too humble. This guy is so humble. You don't even know half of what's happened. Oh, gosh. But anyway, as my representative, verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name as my representative. This I will do so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name as my representative, I will do it. Now, if we are doing our job right, then we are establishing you as God's representatives as well. And this applies to you. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask me in my name, I will do it. I will do it, whatever you ask. If we're teaching you right, you're going to be like that. You're going to start praying over food and multiplying it. You're going to start seeing healings happen in your home. You're going to see in the midnight hours when you're going crazy with fear that you pray for yourself and the peace of God comes on you supernaturally. You are God's representative. We are God's representative. The works that Jesus did, we must do as well. Amen. Amen. People, I am so proud of you and your courage. This is not an easy message. But do you want us to become barking dogs? Do you want us to only appeal to your sensitivities and make you feel all comfortable? Or do you want to grow and become a disciple fast and get ready for the rapture? Amen. Amen? That's where we're headed. If that is for you, you belong here. If it's not, then you know You have to go find what you think you need. We love you so much. Only God knows.